You know, it's a really, it's a fertile garden in which ideas can be. Jesus, did I really go there with that metaphor?
Well met, adventurers. My name is Lee.
I'm Joe, and welcome to Mage Productions.
For this week, we have a super awesome, very special guest that I am crazy excited about, and it's going to be great. We have Deja with us, who is the Raven half of Rook and Raven. Hello, Deja.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Oh, loaded question right off the bat.
We try our best to ask the hard questions. From start to finish.
Yeah. No, I'm doing great. Yeah, the convention season is in full swing, which is keeping us hopping. You know, we've just come out with some new fun designs that people seem to be enjoying. So that's definitely keeping us busy. And then, yeah, there's the whole, like, actually having a life or attempting to, and
Come on now, you know that's not allowed.
Yeah, I will say the new covers that you released over these past, I guess it was like week or so. Oh my gosh, they are amazing.
Is that those awesome pictures I've been seeing on your Twitter?
Probably, yeah.
They're great.
Cool.
Absolutely amazing.
Cool.
For those who may not know what we're even talking about or what the Rook and Raven is, could you kind of give us the elevator pitch on your company and everything that it is that you guys do?
Sure. Yeah, so we make high-quality disc-bound notebooks for tabletop role-playing games. The pages in them are specifically designed for games like Dungeons & Dragons, Pathfinder, Starfinder, or what have you. And one of the nice things about the disc-bound system is that you can pop pages out, pop them back in. You can add, remove, rearrange, refill, upgrade, swap out every single part of the book. So you can get different discs. You can get, you know, replace the cover sets. When we come out with something new, like you know, what you guys were just oohing and aahing over, you know, you don't have to necessarily go out and buy an entirely new book. You can just buy the cover set and swap that out and keep your game rolling right along. That's it in a nutshell.
They're absolutely fantastic. I have two. I have the player version for kind of all the characters that I have rolling around at different tables, and then I have my game master version with all my notes to my current campaign going on and our new podcast game we have going on. And
There's slightly larger hints every episode.
Exactly. Every episode they get something new. But yeah, they're absolutely amazing quality, and the concept is really cool, and the rings are neat. And how did you kind of come up with this idea and kind of this concept altogether?
Core concept is entirely my better half, the Rook half, Amber. This was a couple years back. We were sitting around and she was filling out, she had a happy planner at the time, which is a disc bound like day planner kind of journal. And you know, we have this really, really intense like long running D&D campaign. And she was lamenting that she'd been going through notebook after notebook after notebook. She was saying, it'd be great if I had, like, a planner like this, you know, holding up her happy planner, for D&D, that I could keep all of my, like, my character and my notes and everything organized just in one place. So I don't have to keep trying to figure out, okay, which notebook did I have those notes in? And that was kind of how it all started. And from there, we just sat down over about a week or two and kind of designed out the pages that we thought would be, you know, the most useful for her needs for her game. And when we got done with it, we're like, you know, I bet you there's someone else out there that would want something like this. So we kind of, like, you know, floated the idea out there on Twitter and got a generally pretty positive response. So we decided to do, like, a little pre-order. And the pre-order kind of went a bit better than we expected. And we're like, okay, well, maybe there's something here. So why don't we, you know, we wanted to do like a DM version for myself for that campaign. And so we decided to take that to Kickstarter, and it's just been kind of explosive from there.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And how long have you guys been doing this?
Oh, let's see. Well, the notebook thing started around, I think we put together the first prototype like late 2017. And we launched pre-orders in January of 2018. Almost 2 years now.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's been a ride for sure.
For real.
Yeah.
That is a lot to pack into that period of time, especially for what these books are. There's so much to them.
Yeah, I mean it's a pretty simple answer to that. We just don't sleep.
I don't doubt you one bit.
No,
like I saw your Kickstarter when you put that out there, and I was like, man, I wish I actually took notes at my game, because if so, I would totally do this. But you could ask Lee, I'm notorious for not writing anything during a D&D session.
Nothing, not a thing.
So,
but he's in it. He's paying attention to the game and he's playing it.
Yeah.
But then, you know, next session he has no idea what actually happened.
That's because there's like a month in between them. Shut up. But then we started doing this little other thing that we're doing, and we saw you at Dragon Con, and I was like, I actually have to take notes now. I have a way to justify this. And I picked one up, and I'm still just in awe of like everything in it.
Aww.
And terrified to write in it because it currently looks so perfect. I'm like, no, I have to take all the notes and I have to get them right first, and then I can put them in the book.
No. Okay. That is literally okay. So one little detail on the genesis story of this that I left out was so Amber is very meticulous with her notes. So she'll go back and she'll, you know, rewrite her notes in nice clean penmanship and everything, so she, you know, when she goes back to reference them, you know, they look nice. And one of the things that she kind of lamented was how much wasted space in her notebooks from, like, you know, scribbled out sections where she's rewritten them.
Mm-hmm.
So the disc binding is specifically so that you can take the pages out when you want to write them clean. So you can take your chicken scratch, throw those pages away, and write them nice and clean. And pop those into your book for posterity. And for myself, it's the exact opposite, where I'm afraid to write in every cool notebook that I have, because the moment that I do, it becomes like dedicated to something, and then I can't use it for other things.
I understand this. I have a stack of notebooks, like right here. There's a stack.
Exactly the same.
I know once I write in it, that's what it's for now.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Maybe that's not the right thing. Maybe that's not what that notebook should be for.
So this is actually, you know, for me, that's helped me get over that kind of, you know, crushing mental anxiety of, I don't want to defile this really awesome looking notebook by actually using it.
That's the stage that I'm currently at.
Yep.
But you bring up a great point. You could just pop those pages out, pop some new ones right in.
It's true.
Ta-da!
It is true.
Yep.
Yeah. Speaking of that, one of the things that I love most about these notebooks is that, like, you have different... at Dragon Con, you had them in, like, these little packets of, like... page types, like the world building stuff and kind of like all the different gods, and like it's you have it all laid out. There are, you have actual layouts printed on these pages, and that, me personally, like that really helps my brain kind of like, okay, like I have this block and I've got these blocks and I can lay out all my materials in these different sections. And then we have dedicated sections for things like worlds and NPCs and characters and
yes,
all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. It is very well laid out, and these pages are absolutely amazing.
Yeah. So to turn that into a question, because this is like an interview thing.
You're doing fine. Just keep going.
No, this is supposed to be us talking. It's supposed to be you talking.
We do these so we don't have to talk.
Exactly.
Well, you know, you'll get it right eventually.
We're professionals.
Keep practicing. Keep practicing.
But how do you decide kind of what sections to make and kind of like how to even include those or how to lay those out or kind of anything, all that stuff?
Honestly, it's a lot of gut intuition on the initial drafts, where I'll sit down and think, okay. Now, I mean, I'm very, very much a homebrew kind of DM. So I think about, okay, here are all the questions that I have like rattling around in my head as I'm kind of designing out these new areas of the world. And then I'll go through and just make notes of those and then lay it out in a much more clean fashion for general consumption. Especially try to think of things that, questions in particular that I like to ask to make things richer. Whether or not the players ever see them, things like, for my major NPCs, like, do they have any like best friends? Do they have any nemeses? Like things that you, in the course of a campaign, the players are probably never going to find out that, like who Strahd's like BFF was. but for myself, I like to know those things.
Yeah.
Because you never know when you can work in a fun thread.
It's true. That's a really good point. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah. And so, I mean, the core, like, rough design kind of comes from that experience, that story building, like, practice. And from there, then it's, the hard work of iteration and playtesting and revision and, editing. Mm-hmm. I mean, much like, producing any kind of book. You can go through many drafts. we find one that has like the right balance of, providing guidance without necessarily imposing opinion. Because one of the goals that we have for our books across the board is to be as unopinionated as possible. We primarily use them for Dungeons and Dragons 5th edition. Most of our sales are for, Dungeons and Dragons 5th edition players. But we enjoy other games. We enjoy other settings. We enjoy other, other styles of play. And so we wanted a book that would be flexible for that. And on the flip side, we also, understand that, like, I'm one DM. She's one DM. We are not a particularly large sample group of, possible DMs in this world, and players. We tried to remove any of our own, like, inherent biases and make sure that these could work well for people who think completely differently than we do. We always encourage, whenever we're talking with customers and they email us, we're like, hey, and when you get your book and you get a chance to really use it, send us some pictures. Like, we want to see how you use your book, because it's great seeing all the different ways that that people use these that we never thought of. So all of you out there who are listening to this right now, if you have one of our books, take a picture and tweet it at us. We want to see.
Yeah. I want to see too.
Yeah,
because that's really interesting. I never even thought about that. And that's got to be really hard, keeping it as unopinionated as possible while still being like, it's not a blank page.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, ooh, curious.
So,
go ahead, Joe.
I'd say kind of along those lines, especially being able to, remove pages and add pages, you can customize these books literally however you want to.
Mm-hmm.
With whatever you want in there. And there are a ton of different things. I've only got the DM book. but there's a ton of different things in the DM book itself, and I'm going to go ahead and assume that there are some other things in the player version also. So what are some of the different types of pages and the things that people can include in these books?
Well, kind of, you know, at its core, I mean, it's a notebook. It's got to function like a notebook, you know, for all the bells and whistles, and for as beautiful as we can make it, and for as, you know, gaming specific as we can make some of these sections, like, it's still got to do the job of being a really great notebook. So, you know, there's session, what we call session notes, and what we call line notes. Line notes are just, you know, your basic basic lined note paper. The session notes are line notes, but they also have like a header at the top for date, location, session number, things that you can use to help you cross-reference. You know, or when you're looking back and trying to find, okay, let's see, this was around Thanksgiving. Yeah, you can flip back and look by date to find the particular notes you're looking for. Mm-hmm. We also have on the, you know, very generic side, we have what we call our grid page, or sorry, our quad pages. And it's basically just four little mini note pages on a side. We've seen these used for all different kinds of things, ranging from people write their, they'll use it for like spell cards where they'll write in like details about their spells. They use it for beast shapes. They'll use it for familiars, use it for NPCs that they encounter. Now, I mean, a lot of these things we've since, you know, come out with kind of specific pages for, that, you know, can help, help guide and better serve those particular use cases. But you always have these quad pages to fall back on as just a generic kind of whatever you might need it for. I've seen it used for like a haversack, you know, one box for, two boxes were used for the larger compartment. And then the two small boxes were used for the two side, pouches, cause they could each contain different things.
That's awesome.
You know, that's what I'm talking about, where it's like unopinionated, where it's like, okay, you know, it's a quad page. It's got a four up. There's four little boxes on it. Like, do with that what you will.
Yeah.
You know, some people are going to find that to be super useful. And some people are going to be like, I don't know what to do with this. And they can just tear it out and throw it away. Or, you know, in an ideal world, recycle it or, you know, give it to a friend who might have a use for it. But, you know.
We'll accept all quad pages. Mm-hmm. Anyone does not want
any of your abandoned pages, feel free to send our way. We will take them, yes, and give them new homes.
Yes. All the pages.
But yeah, we've also got, you know, pages for maps. So we've got in the standard books, you've got grid pages, so like a standard square grid. But we also have like refill packs that have isometric dot and hex grid, if you prefer those styles of maps. So yeah, after the map pages, then we kind of get more system specific. So you've got your say your fifth edition character sheets or spell lists. You might have like our one of the expansion packs for the character book, the C4 pack, which has little stat blocks for, you know, wild shapes or familiars or henchmen. You know, anytime where you need a stat block for something, another really great use for that is the, I can never remember the name of the spell. Conjure Woodland Beings, where you might want to have, yeah, you know, if you're a summoner and you don't hate your DM, you can have all the stats like handy for, you know, your wolves and your badgers and, whatever else you might summon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Don't look at me, mm-hmm, like that. I don't conjure anything.
I know. I know. I'm looking at you knowingly. I'm not looking at you accusingly.
I don't see the difference between those two looks.
Yeah, there's not much, really. That's awesome, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I almost forgot one of the key features. We have these wet erase overlays. that you can drop in over your character sheet for things that are going to change a lot, like your hit points or your health or ammunition, spell slots, things like that. And of course, you know, everything being discbound, you can also pop them out and move them around to whatever pages you're going to find the most useful for.
That's just one of the coolest things, is being able to quickly and really easily kind of pop all these pages out and move them around and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, not to like get all fanboyish or whatever, but like, it's paper and the rings that I have are metal. And I was like, yeah, but they're going to like wear out real quick. And then they're just going to fall out all the time. And that has never been an issue that I've had. Like,
you might, if you come to one of our convention booths and you, we start pulling out one of the sample books that we've been using for 6 months, that's been opened and, you know, pages popped in and out like literally hundreds of times, you start to see a little wear and tear. Mm-hmm. But it takes a lot for these pages to wear out to the point where they fall out of the book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which, again, like paper and metal, like it's going to happen, sure. It's part of like physics, I guess. Mm-hmm. Science, sure. I don't know. But the quality is just great.
At that
the
point,
the paper quality is fantastic.
Just get some new paper.
Thank you.
For real.
Yeah.
Pop in some new pages.
We spend a lot of time. I'm not gonna lie, we spent a lot of time testing out some different paper stocks to find one that that had the right balance of features we were looking for. Mm-hmm. We wanted something that, you know, we'd be able to actually like use in production at scale, so that, you know, it wasn't the kind of thing where, oh yeah, the quality of the paper drops off as we, you know, start making more and more books because now we've got a new press and it can't take, you know, whatever kind of fancy paper we're using. Mm-hmm. But by the same token, we wanted something that was going to be able to handle pencil, pen, marker, highlighters, and even like fountain pens and yep.
As I hold up my fountain pen. Yes. Yeah.
Myself, I like to play at calligraphy. So I've got, you know, a bunch of dip pens, and actually went through and all the paper stacks that we did, I, you know, wrote a bunch of stuff on each side with the calligraphy pen, just to make sure that, you know, it wasn't going to bleed through, it wasn't going to become, you know, like it wasn't going to wick away and become really illegible. So I mean, it's not the perfect stock for every media, but it does a pretty good job for most things that you're likely to find at a gaming table.
Definitely vouch for that. And also, you know, the fancy leather cover.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, just don't mention the leather. Don't mention the leather. Leather has become the bane of my existence lately. We had this really fantastically successful Kickstarter last year, where we, you know, debuted these fantastic, beautiful new leather covers, and we got, you know, these amazing like laser engraving machines, and we literally physically can't get enough leather into our shop right now, so it's very trickly at the moment.
Wow.
Yeah. It's one of those things where I regret that our shop wasn't big enough to just order all of the leather we would need all at once and just like stick it in a room somewhere. We physically don't have space in our shop to store that much. The supply side has definitely changed a bit since our our Kickstarter closed out. Little by little, we're working through it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you guys have been at this almost 2 years now, which is absolutely incredible, and you've grown substantially.
Oh, yes.
From when you started. I mean, like you mentioned... like we were at Dragon Con and we saw you there, which Dragon Con is like one of the biggest conventions in the Southeast. Mm-hmm. You guys went to Gen Con this year, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We were invited to Gen Con, which was incredible.
That's awesome.
Very surreal.
Yeah. Do you have any other conventions coming up this year that you guys will be attending?
Yeah, actually, we have several conventions coming up. This week, we are going to be at New York Comic Con, booth 242. We just got moved.
go check them out.
And yeah, always happens. And then, yeah, we're headed to Madison, Wisconsin for Gamehole Con.
Nice.
We were, you know, lucky enough to get into their very, very tiny exhibitor hall.
Cool.
So, you know, we feel really chuffed about that one. And then, not to mention the fact that, you know, both Amber and I are originally from Madison. So that's kind of like we get to go home and like stay with family and like, you know, that's an easy con for us.
That's amazing. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thrilled that there's a gaming convention in Madison, to be honest. Like it's, when I lived there, it was something I had never imagined would be there. And so, you know, getting to actually like go back home to work at a gaming convention is really surreal. Yes, we've got, let's see, New York Comic Con, Gamehole Con, and then we're rounding out our year in Philadelphia at PAX Unplugged.
Cool. I'll be there too.
Sweet.
We'll see you again.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Wow, that's a lot of conventions this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I had tallied it up at one point, and I think we ended up going to, or being present at like 10 or 12 different events this year, which going That's from incredible. You know, last year's total of zero, was, you know,
that is a fairly unreal. Large increase.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Congrats. And it's That's and big.
Thanks. It's entirely, you know, thanks to, you know, this incredible community, that, you know, has embraced us and wrapped us up in a warm blanket and said, you can do it. We believe in you. Now, give us our books, or you know we're gonna beat down your door. Mm-hmm. You know, good positive interactions with everybody.
It is quite a community for that. Mm-hmm.
So, for all the people that already have books from you and whatnot, what can they look forward to next? What if anything y'all have coming down the line? Where are you going?
Oh,
how you expanding?
Come on. Haven't we done enough for you people?
No, I mean,
no,
never.
Really. More.
We want it
more. More.
I want it all.
I want it all.
And I want it now.
Well, over the summer we launched some pretty cool new things. We've got a campaign atlas that is a nice like 11 by 14 notebook that has either square grid or hex grid maps. So you basically just plop it open in the middle of your table and you've got, you know, a battle map right there. But then, of course, because the pages pop out and pop in, you can, you know, take out multiple pages, make a nice big spread of a map, or swap things out as things are discovered, different floors, all that great stuff. And then it all packs up into this nice compact little disc-bound book at the end of the day. You know, we're always dabbling with new discs and designs and things like that. Like we just unveiled the Infernal Iron discs.
Oh my gosh, those are gorgeous.
Yeah.
Absolutely gorgeous.
They are impossible to photograph. Because they're really dark. They're really dark.
Are
and
they?
It's almost like they remind me of like black with a hint of red in them more than they do of like red, like dark red. Like they're very dark, and if you catch them in the light, they get really bright red.
God, don't tell me.
And so it's
things.
Like trying to capture that essence of, you know, like every individual disc is, you know, personally demonically possessed. You know, there's just no way to photograph that.
Yep. It's true. Can't photograph a possession, and I am totally not like on the site right now. Looking for
no, that's what I will be doing when we get off of here tonight.
Yeah. They're great.
So, we've got, always new cover designs coming out. I'm trying to think of things that I can talk about.
you're not going to give us a secret?
Dang it.
there's something that's kind of become a more of an open secret at this point. And that's, we're going to be launching an art book, a little later this year.
An art book?
Yeah. So, disc bound, sketchbook of sorts. It's going to have, paper in there that would be appropriate for, say, watercolor, paper that would be appropriate for, inks, paper that would be appropriate for, pencils and charcoal. So you can, pop the page out of your book, tape it to your board, make art, and then pop it back in when you're done.
Oh, I love that, and I'm totally getting one as soon as you guys have that available, because I need that in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know a certain player that might be very, very interested in that when they come out, because she is also a super fan.
She is a super fan.
And I'm pretty sure that between me and her, we convinced another player in this group to go spend money and make himself a super fan. So
pretty soon both groups will all be super fans.
Mm-hmm. We just let out like more than one hint in a episode.
Blast. Slipping. You could have just let it slide and nobody would have noticed, Joe.
Maybe I was trying to point it out.
Anyways. Yeah. As we have said, we're super fans. So this entire interview has been completely biased.
Yep.
And it's beautiful and we love everything that you're doing.
Thank you.
And amazing work, really. And the amount that you guys have grown in such a short period of time, that's a feat.
Mm-hmm. Well, we really, really do owe it entirely to this incredible community. I've worked in tech for far longer than I care to admit. I've gotten to see, a lot of products, a lot of, market research and communities and all this kind of thing. And there's something just absolutely unique about, the current like tabletop gaming community that is so welcoming, so warm, and so supportive of each other. It's a fertile garden in which ideas can be. Jesus, did I really go there with that metaphor? No. Nope. Cut. Edit that out.
That's our intro clip.
Blooper reel.
So glad it's a podcast. You can't see how beet red my face is right now.
It's true, though. I mean, for like lack of a better term, you're exactly right. It's a fertile garden for ideas to really flourish. Thank you again so much for joining us.
Anytime.
It's been fantastic, and keep doing what you're doing, mm-hmm. because we all appreciate it.
Well, thank you, and thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute delight to get to chat with you guys and nerd out about this stuff today. And
cool. Well, if people want to find out more about Rook and Raven and everything that you guys have coming up and everything that you guys already have, where can they find you and all your super awesome, really cool notebooks?
You can find us at therookandtheraven.com. It's our website, our shop. Most everything cool goes there first. You can also check us out on Twitter, at therooktheraven. If you put the "and" in there, I apologize, but you're going to be directed to, a dead art gallery account. And actually, at the Rook, the Raven is pretty much our handle across the board. So Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. But while I am getting better about using Instagram and the Facebook. Twitter is where everything goes by default. So if you want the quickest, newest, latest, and greatest, that's the place to look for us.
Well, we're there and we're watching.
Mm-hmm.
And we're excited about it. In a totally non-creepy way.
Very.
That came out weird.
You say that.
And you say Fertile Gardens.
If you would like to interact with us, you can find us on Twitter at @mage_podcast or check out our website, mageproductions.com.
Or if you just want to tell other people how much you love the show and that they should listen, you can leave us a 5-star review, go and review us wherever you get your podcast from. We really love to see those and read what you think.
And we would like to give a huge shout out to our partners and sponsors. First off, Hit Dice. Check them out at hitdicepod.com and on Twitter at hitdicepod. And of course, last but not least, sonerdwear.com, a place to find fun clothing and accessories tailored for tabletop geeks and nerds everywhere. They're also on Twitter at sonerdwear. So you can go to sonerdwear.com and search for Mage Productions to find all of our cool swag. And then once you find everything, you can use code MAGE to get 10% off your entire order.